Everybody, welcome to a Tuesday edition Bulldog Hour. Captain Gonzo alongside here as always until 3, and then CG and Gonzo bring you with the Christopher Gabriel program to 6 o'clock tonight. The only play-by-play, Dan Rusinowski and the Sharks. Not that Dan is starting at center or anything. Dan Rusinowski is the longtime play-by-play voice and director of broadcasting of the Sharks. Over on 790, I'm sure Dan would be relieved to know that I've cleared that up. Because you've met Danny, you know this. He is a sartorially splendid guy as far as double-breasted suits, and he is always a perfect individual in regard to his comportment and his wardrobe, but he does not resemble a hockey player. Number one, he has all of his teeth, at least last time I checked. But anyway, the Sharks are over on 790 at 5 o'clock, and I'm sure Dan would appreciate all of my kind words. We've known him for a long, long time, and like the NBA season for us with the Lakers, it's when do we get to April so we can get to the real seasons, both the Stanley Cup playoffs and the drama of the NBA playoffs. But in early December, it is a long way from here to there. For us, it's right back to Fresno State football today. That is not a surprise. It's like that most times. We were still hopeful we would have Bulldog football games to talk about, but we naturally have the coaching search that is going to dominate the airwaves the next couple of weeks. So along those lines, our good friend Cam Worrell, who always is with us until the end of the college football season. So Cam will be with us on Tuesdays through the 14th of January, and that means a lot's going to happen between now and then for this Fresno State football program as well. We'll talk to Jackson a little bit later on as well about recruiting. Let's bring Cam up right now. Cam, how you doing, my friend?
Tone, what's going on?
Oh, nothing much. another trip to Portland. I've asked you this before. You want to come along? You looking forward to the Knicks and the Blazers tonight, are you? Yeah, I didn't think so. That's the proper response right there. It's kind of like a Warriors-Bulls matchup. Whew, that kind of thing. Or the Warriors in Memphis last night, which would have been Oh, man. Okay. So that's enough basketball. By the way, the Bulldogs tomorrow, and we'll talk to Q up in Berkeley at 7 o'clock at the former Harmon Gym, which is, Haas Pavilion, whatever it is. We'll get to that tomorrow. Cam, look, you and I have already stated our piece last week when Teddy broke the news that he would be stepping down, who we believe sincerely the next head coach will be. So I'm not going to go back over that. What we're going to try to do is respect the process. You and I have gone through this, and I've mentioned to you on air, and you certainly had a show with us where you were the guy who had to make that decision about what to talk about every day. We have seen in both basketball and football coaching searches take strange twists. So we're going to respect the process. You and I have used the term stunned and shocked if we don't hear a certain name, and I think we both still feel that way. So let's leave that part of it alone, and let's talk about this. Cam, from the time that Sweeney took the job, and I was talking to Panish about this last Friday, from the time Jim took the job in 76, every coach except for DeRuiter has chosen to stay in this community after his coaching time was done, and that included Bob Padilla, who went right to Clovis Unified. Certainly, Pat is still here. Teddy has made it clear he's going to be here. Jim was here until he passed away. What about it, Cam? Is that important to you as a Valley guy, as a Valley native, that whoever takes this job, that he is someone who is committed to making this his home beyond just being the coach for the time that he's here to coach?
I don't know if it's something that I would say is important. But I think, you know, when you name off all of those former coaches that you named off, all the ones who did make this home and stayed here, I think, you know, each one of those names were, you know, especially obviously Jim and Pat and now Jeff, you know, I think it shows how special this area is. And when people, you know, who aren't from here, don't know much about it, you know, you kind of hear the normal things about Fresno and the middle of California and all that. But people who actually come here and experience it, they tend to stay. You know, they tend to stick around. And they tend to really appreciate the genuine nature of the people that you get to know when you spend any amount of time here. Dale Rogers is another one who, you know, lived here up until his passing as well.
Right,
this is a special place. Yeah. And people who get ingrained in the community and the culture and get to meet people who are really special people, they want to stay. I think, you know, it's always interesting when you have an opening here because just like every other group of five school, like you have hot assistants from Power Five programs who are ready to take that next step, and they're going to be, you know, obviously candidates and rightly so. And then you kind of have former head coaches who are looking to, you know, maybe get back to a higher level or reestablish themselves as a quality head coach. But you don't really have, you know, the unique situation like you did with Jeff, where you have one of the best coaches in college football who want to stay here for the rest of their career. That's so rare at a school like Fresno State because you just don't have the resources to keep people who are quality coaches here. Pat stayed here. He wanted to build this program into something special. He was able to accomplish that. And Jeff wanted to do the same. And unfortunately, he had to exit a little bit too early. But I think whoever comes here, if they're genuine about buying in and really having a passion to build this program into something special, you know, I think the odds are good that they're going to stay here as long as it makes sense for them and their families. If they get to a point where, you know, $4 million is $4 million, you know, you get some guaranteed money like that, it's time to move on. But I think when you have someone who comes in and is genuine, like the people in this valley, I think that is so attractive to people, and people, they just want to stay. They want to make this home because they appreciate the unique nature of everything you get to experience in the valley.
It's very well said, Kim. The other thing, and you touched upon it, the commonality of the guys that we're referring to is family was coming first. You know this because you have kids that are growing up right now. You know, my son just gave me a call from San Diego, where he's there as a nuclear engineer in the Navy, and he talks about what he loves about being in San Diego. And I said, yeah, I know the things you love about being in San Diego. Just try and buy a house and get back to me. Okay, that's the thing. All right, so, you know, he loves San Diego, Cab, and we'll see what the paycheck is vis-a-vis the mortgage.
Right.
And I bring this up because one of the things that happened with Pat, as you know, all three of his sons were born here because of his first stint here. No question with, you know, Jim, Kevin had to move around St. Louis, then back to Fresno, all that stuff. We know how much Jeff enjoys having his two sons with him, and he and Donna being able to keep that nuclear family together. Cam, when we talk about DeBoer or anybody else, these are young guys, by and large, who have young, growing families. How much does that factor into the desire to be here for anybody who's got the young family as opposed to an older coach where the kids are already grown and they're off doing their own stuff? I mean, you can speak to this. How critically important is it, particularly when you have to spend so much time on your job, to know that you're in an environment where, number one, it is affordable, and number two, it is stable for your family? Is that like number one, two, three, and four on the list for a lot of the guys?
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason why I'm here. You know, we were in Chicago, and we made the decision to buy a house in Fresno and to make Fresno home and kind of, you know, put our roots down in the valley. And, you know, I can go back to talking to J.D. Williams last right before this season. You know, he's been here for a couple of years, but finally his family finally moved out, and he has a son in sixth grade, and he was excited that he's going to be in the, you know, Clovis Unified School System, and his son, for the first time in his life, is excited because he gets to play tackle football at school.
Right.
You know, he's a baseball player, but, you know, that type of stuff doesn't exist everywhere. You don't get to play tackle football at school when you're in sixth grade everywhere in the country, or even a lot of places in California. So he was excited to get his family here. And you know, the fact that you have a community of people when you are a part of an elementary school here, that you grow and you get to know more people and you get to really feel like you're a part of something a little bit larger. I think it's a big reason, it's a big factor for someone like, you know, the coaches that we're talking about who may have young kids, who may have school age children, and they want to have a positive quality of life. You know, the job is what it is. You know, the this is obviously a premier job in college football, especially in Group of Five schools. You're in California, you have just a massive recruiting base, you know, the passion of the Red Wave, but you know, like, this is a decision for your entire family. This isn't just a coaching decision or a business decision. This is a decision that impacts everybody who invests into, you know, a coach's career. And that's kids, that's a significant other, that's parents, that's family members. So the fact that, you know, a lot of people are familiar with the Central Valley and know the type of education, know the type of community that they will be a part of, I think that's a big factor. It's much easier to move to Fresno and buy a house and get your kids in a quality school, you know, much easier than it is to go a lot of places across the country who may have job openings, even a lot of places in California. It's much more difficult, much more expensive. You know, you have to think about private school. You don't have to do that here. And I think that is a factor for a lot of, especially, you know, these younger coaches who may have younger children who we all assume and know that they are the, you know, real candidates for this position.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. I always think of what Mike Batesole said several years ago. We were broadcasting, not on this station, but on one of the other stations, a lot of high school baseball. And Mike had mentioned, he had said, you know what, this is unique to this area. This is when his kids were still at Buchanan, right, before they had come to Fresno State. And he said, that's what I love about being here. He said, you know, he grew up, you know, Mike grew up in the shadow of the Big A in Anaheim. He used to tell me he's an Angels fan from his bedroom at night as a kid. He could see whether the Angels won or not because the lights on the stadium, the Big A in Anaheim, would be lit up when the Angels won. And he mentioned to me that what he felt in community here as his kids were growing up, he could never get down there. He just could not, because there wasn't any single entity city-wise or whatever that was important enough in that overall scheme of the giant area of the LA Basin where you could look at a high school sport and say, you know what, it's important enough to put it on the radio. And he said he just loved the idea of driving around and just being able to listen to something and having that feeling of community. And I think it's one of the great draws here. And the other thing, Cam, that I'm curious about, and I don't know if you went through this or not, but the difficulty for coaches when they move around, when their kids are of school age, and they have to tell them. It's one thing to tell your wife, who already has sacrificed so much, that she's going to have to move again and leave her friends and her job or whatever it might be. But for the kids, Cam, how difficult is it for guys that bounce around when your kids are at that age where social interaction is so critical to say, yeah, I know these are all your friends, but by the way, guess what? We're leaving again. That has got to be brutally difficult, and it has to factor into your long-term decision-making, doesn't it?
It does, and I've had that conversation a few times. You know, I mean, Janelle, she's used to it. You know, we're in Chicago, right. We're back in Fresno in the off season, then we're in Miami, and then I'm in New Jersey, and she's in Fresno, and I'm back in Chicago. She's just used to it. She's used to traveling, used to jumping from place to place. But, you know, my kids are in school, and they have friends, and I would say, hey, you know, it's possible we might end up, you know, somewhere else. They're like, we're not leaving. We'll find a house on our own, or we'll stay with a relative. Like, we're not leaving. Like, that's how serious they were about, no, we're not going anywhere. And honestly, you know, I coached the 2 years at Fresno City, and I really put a lot of thought into pursuing a coaching career, you know, at the college or professional level, and made the decision when I did have, you know, at the time, you know, had a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, I made the decision, I'm not going to pursue this because I don't want to be in Michigan 1 year and then in Florida the next year and Texas right. The year after. And I'm not sure where my kids are going to be, and I don't want to drag them all across the country. It's a very real you know, decision that has to be made. And when you can find some stability, and I have, you know, I have friends right now I played with who are coaching, and they're 2 years or 3 years in one spot and they're on to the next one. To find some stability in this profession is, I mean, it's holds so much weight for a lot of these coaches because of the effect it has on their family, and telling your kids that we got to pick up roots. I know you just made friends and you're just comfortable, but we got to move on to a new place. It's extremely difficult, and it has an effect on your children. And, you know, everybody that I know who's in this profession, they would love to find a place that they could, you know, put the stakes up and call home and really feel like they can grow as a coach, and their family has the ability to feel like they are in a place they can call home.
I'll tell you what, Chase McLaughlin, the kid that was kicking for the 49ers, luckily he's just a rook, his fifth team now, this season, his fifth team, Cam. So, you know what, that's where you keep, you know, and along those lines, I don't know if people are aware of this, despite his great success, Tony La Russa, of course, Hall of Fame manager with the Cardinals and the A's and all that stuff, Tony La Russa just kept the family in Arizona all year long. And he said, here's why. Number one, baseball is, you know, Cam, a little bit different than football because you're playing it every day. But he said, not only am I occupied with baseball every day, I'm not the greatest person to be around for those 6 months that we're playing ball, okay? So, but that's a unique situation. And the reason I ask all of this is because for someone who has just left the area, gone somewhere else, the enticement, Cam, to be able to come back quickly before all those contacts have been lost for everybody, how much does that play into any decision that's made? A mutuality of it, because, you know, there has to be a mutual interest. Interest from a university, but also interest of coming back when you just left because you haven't severed every tie. Does that play at the top of the list as well?
Yeah, I think so, especially being so recent and having recent success. I think that's a big part of it too. If you were somewhere and you had success, it's very easy to come back because, you know, everything's positive. The experience was positive. Your relationships are positive. You're always speaking positively about what you're doing within your program to whether it's coaches or recruits or just people that you meet. Like, it's such a positive experience. I mean, you know, I have such, like, living in Fort Lauderdale was awesome. We lived right on the Atlantic Ocean. We would walk out on the balcony and just look at the ocean. It was magnificent. But the experience in Chicago was so much better because we won, you know, and we made, when you win, you make relationships with people that last so much longer than when you lose, because you are sharing in a positive experience and you are all putting something into that experience. It's a very unique situation where, like, lifelong ties are made in a couple of years because of, you know, being somewhere, having a like mindset, having success as a unit, and just building the strength of your relationship within that. I think that's a big factor for anybody who has the opportunity to do that. And regardless of if it were, you know, last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, if Fresno was positive for you and you had a lot of positive experiences here, if you did have the ability to play or coach here, you know, that's a big factor in coming back. You know, I would be hesitant to go work for the Dolphins if I had the opportunity, because I have a negative association with that right. franchise and that organization and how things are handled. But if someone asked me to go coach a secondary in Chicago, I'd be on the next flight out to O'Hare. I mean, it's just, you build those lasting relationships and connections, and they don't fade away even with time.
Along those lines, I want to ask you the comparison and the contrast between, say, a DeBoer, who, as we mentioned, checks every box, and you and I have made our comments already on air, not going to go back through that, versus, say, a McElwain. And again, I'm using these as prototypes, and what I mean is I'm talking about guys that fit a certain mold, and while we're talking about specific individuals, I'd rather talk about what they represent. DeBoer represents a young guy and someone who has seen a very steep trajectory and career path from being a tremendously successful coach at NAIA and hardly ever losing, but that is not D1 football. We know that. Coming here, Teddy didn't even know him, came here, success, ends up Indiana. Great success there. Now, if he is the guy to come back here, how long he stays is an issue. Versus a McElwain type who has been there, done that, but as you reference, had tremendous positivity while he was here. Cam, your point of view as an alum, do you have a preference to which type of mold of coach you'd rather have, the guy that's been there, done that, and maybe less prone to say, you know what, the ladder, I need to climb it one more time, I was already in the SEC, or do you want the guy who is that hungry to get to the absolute top, whatever it might mean to him when ultimately he gets there?
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. It's almost, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other, where, you know, even with the Jim McElwain type, or, you know, someone who has been a head coach who moved their way up and has kind of tried to reestablish their identity and you know, try to work themselves up in the same way they did before. Or if you have a guy like Kalen DeBoer, who, you know, was here, moved up in the OC ranks, had a lot of success, and you know that this is probably temporary if he does come here. But, you know, I think for the majority of coaches who take a position at a place like Fresno State, it's not a forever job. You know, we were so lucky to have Pat Hill. Well, I mean, go back to Jim Sweeney. We're so lucky to have Jim Sweeney, who was a Bulldog, kind of dabbled in other things, but came back and stayed here. And Pat, who wanted to be here and didn't leave even when he had opportunities. And then Jeff, who you knew, like, I know there's always speculation and, oh, he's up for the SC job or, you know, potentially here or right there. Like, Jeff was not leaving Fresno State until he had to retire from football. And that's what the position that we are in. Those are so unique with a school like Fresno State, because you just don't have the resources to keep those guys. You don't have the resources to keep, well, look at Lane Kiffin. He's the head coach at Ole Miss now. Went to FAU, had tremendous success, and now Ole Miss comes calling. Rightly so. I think he's reestablished himself as a quality person, connects with players, you know, has learned a lot. And, you know, that reclamation project type of a coach, I think it's kind of the same. You know, I don't necessarily think that you have had to been a head coach at this level to have success as a head coach at this level. Like, if you have worked under quality head coaches, if you've learned from quality people and you've had success on your way up, I think you take a lot from those experiences. Ron Rivera is the best example I can think of off the top of my head, a guy who was just ready. Like, when he was in Chicago, he was ready. In fact, Lovey kind of, you know, moved on from him as a defensive coordinator, because otherwise he would have lost a couple of other assistants to other opportunities, because he knew Ron was next. And it took a few more years, but he was ready to be a head coach. You have guys around you who are coordinators or position coaches. You just know that they have it. And when they have it, it's just a matter of time till they get that opportunity. And sometimes you're able to keep them at a place, you know, like Fresno State, a few years extra because they love it, their family loves it. But eventually, this job, just the reality of it is, if you have success, someone's going to offer you a ton more money, and it's irresponsible almost to your family not to take that opportunity. Or you don't have success, and 5 years later, you're looking for another head coach anyway. It's very rare, and we've been lucky over, 45 years or so to have the type of continuity within this program. And I mean, you know, not even to get into Jeff's situation, it's so unfortunate for him and his family, and just wish him nothing but the best of health. But, you know, he was going to be another one of those unique coaches who were going to stay here and build something special. And I think he'll still be around, but, you know, I think that's just a reality, Tone, that whoever ends up as the head coach here, this is probably going to be more of a stepping stone type of a position than a forever type of position.
Yeah, I agree with you. Also, one quick sidebar, Ron Rivera, you know, Vesty Jackson, the former McLean standout who ended up in the Bears backfield, defensive backfield, before your time, Cam, brought the
Bears around in the late 80s for basketball. And, I mean, it was like 10,000 people at Celland Arena, for goodness sake, because the Bullard Band went out and sold tickets, right? And the 49ers and Bears were playing one another. And Ron Rivera, I don't remember Ron playing in the game. I just know that he was one of the bigger guys physically that was on the bench. It was mainly the DBs and wide receivers that played, right?
Yeah, of course.
Ron walked by before the game, and my wife was sitting next to me, and we were talking, and she got up to get a drink of water, and he asked who it was. He had his wife with him at the time, and he asked who that was, and I said, it's my wife. And he looked at her, and he goes, she's married to you? Oh. He took you to a hole. He just walked away. So I tried not to take it personally. You know, Ronnie Lott was on the ground laughing hysterically, I think, at the point. So, you know, it was followed up with being nice.
I would take that as a compliment if I were you. I think that's
Okay. It's a compliment in one sense. And in the other, okay, it's that Cheech Marin line when they asked him about his wife. Once, do people recognize you as successful? He goes, all I know when I'm walking down the street in L.A. and they see me and my wife, they know she's substantially better looking than I am. So they figure I must be somebody. All right. So sure, Cam, I'll take that. All right. That's sort of faint praise, but all right, we'll run with it. Fine. Okay. Anyway, so someday I'll get even with Ron, who was being referred to, by the way, as old man at the time, and he was like 29. It was just unbelievable.
Right. Okay?
So it's all relative. Here's the thing I want to ask you about, though, today, because, again, we have stated our piece about what we think is going to happen, and I've also been very clear that there have been twists and turns in every coaching hire. Except for Tedford's, Jeff was probably the only one in football and in basketball and even the baseball hire of Mike Batesole, which is a long time ago, but within the confines of the 2000s and even back to Pat Hill in 96, let's remember that Brian Billick left the committee and headed to the airport and made the public pronouncement, I've got this job, as he left Fresno, at that time Fresno Air Terminal, now FYI. And to his surprise, he did not have that job because Pat Hill, who not a lot of people knew because Pat had just been an assistant here under Sweeney and then had left for CFL and for UNLV in Arizona, all that stuff. Pat knew this area so well that he just knocked the socks off the committee. Now, this isn't a committee-based proposition, and it may very well go according to form, but we have seen twists and turns with the baseball hire, with basketball hires. We saw one basketball hire where the athletic director told a guy it was his job, and the university president said, wrong again, it's somebody else's job. And we know what's going on at USC right now, because you know this, Cam, that Mike Bone thought he was going to be able to hire Urban Meyer, and surprise, the university president said, no, you're not. So you never say never, but I think there is great likelihood in the direction we're headed. But I want to ask you the consternation here if you are an assistant coach. Cam, you very familiar with what these guys go through from your time in the NFL, where it is not for long, and we're all aware of it. But for these coaches, Cam, how tough is it if they're not sure? They are, no matter what they're being told privately, they're not sure about their status, to go out and recruit their butts off between now and the 18th and try to finalize deals when they don't know if they're recruiting for the place they're staying, as opposed to polishing up their resume because they've got a family to worry about. How hard is this on them right now?
Yeah, well, I think it's difficult. And I think, you know, I think any quality coach, they're still doing exactly what you're saying. You know, they're still out there recruiting. They're still selling Fresno State. They're still selling Fresno State as the place that they are going to be. And that may be hard if you know that, you know, the likelihood of you being here is not great. But I think if you have quality people, that's what they're out there doing. But it's extremely difficult because, like, these guys, they don't know who the next head coach is going to be. They might have an idea. They might feel comfortable, but they don't know. And if, you know, your paycheck is dependent upon you having a coaching job and you don't know who the head coach is going to be and if you are going to be at this university, it's extremely difficult not to, you know, polish your resume, not to reach out to other relationships that you have and you know, test the waters to see, like, if something goes down, where am I? You know, what do I do? Because at the end of the day, you know, you love loyal coaches and you love people who are invested in this football program. But, like, people have kids to feed. That's just the reality. They have families to support. And, you know, as Jeff or Terry said the other day, hey, you know, these guys, they have families, you know, they have responsibilities that they have to take care of. So, yeah, if they are afforded an opportunity to move on or move into a better situation, like, nobody can hold that against them. So it's extremely difficult to try to kind of play both sides of that, where you are recruiting for Fresno State, you're recruiting as a member of this coaching staff, and you have to, you know, try to portray that any and all times. At the same time, you know, you don't know what's going on. There's a lot of uncertainty around the situation just because of you know, the abrupt nature of Jeff's decision and what he had to do. So it's tough. And I commend these coaches because I know them. I know the character that these coaches possess. And I know they're out there on the road selling Fresno State, saying everything's going to be, you know, good. We're the trajectory that we're on is not going to change, even if, you know, the head coaching, you know, the man at the top is going to change. We're going to keep this thing rolling. And I know they're doing a good job, but it's tough because you have to, you know, at the end of the day, you're a team guy and you work on a staff, but you have a staff at home that you have to provide for. And first and foremost, that's your number one responsibility. And I think you guys are in a tough spot, but I think from everything that I've heard and the conversation that I've had, guys are doing a great job continuing to push this program to as many people as they can.
You also have a unique perspective, not only being someone who obviously went through all of this from high school on up through the NFL, but the fact that you're so involved with the passing camp, some of the other things you do. Cam, do guys still look more at the university than the coach? I know there are exceptions, obviously, but just in a broad stroke, if you take that, you know, the broad brush, not you take the Wagner power painter, not the artist brush, right, to talk about what you see with guys. Is it they look at school more than they do coach? I guess what I'm asking is, and I know it's not a huge early signing class, I think it's six total, but they're important guys. Two of them are local that are going to stay in the fold. But do you say guys will honor commitments more than likely because it's about the program, or truly is it about the change of coach that could change everything for them and it will cause them at the very least to back away from committing now? It doesn't mean they won't commit in February, but that they will back away. How do you view this?
Yeah, I think it's tough on a recruit. You know, it really is. The same uncertainty we're talking about on the staff, that, you know, recruits possess the same. But, you know, I always think about, you know, the old line, I know you've heard it, but, you know, how is USC ever able to get recruits over UCLA when you walk on USC's campus and then you go to Westwood and you walk on UCLA's campus,
yeah,
right?
Nirvana. Yeah, that's
say,
right,
well,
exactly. Yeah.
Right. Go to the Rose Bowl on a game day and then go to the Coliseum on a game day and see the Heisman Trophy winners that are lined up in the tunnel waiting for the team to go out at USC, and that'll tell you all you need to know. So there is an aspect of people buy into coaches, obviously. They buy into the guys that recruit them, but – you know, you don't make a decision just on, hey, this coach is here and that's where I want to be. You have to take everything into account. Is this environment what I want to play in? You know, is this a place that I can see myself being for the next 4 or 5 years? Does this university offer some of the things that I want to pursue after my football career is over, whenever that may be? Those are still very big factors in the decision-making process for, you know, a lot of these kids. I know, like, Twitter stuff's cool and these graphics and pictures and jerseys and all, like, all that stuff is cool. But at the end of the day, you know, kids make business decisions for where they feel is going to fit them best for 4 or 5 years. And the university plays a big part in that. The program, the tradition, all of those things play into that decision-making process. You have good relationships with a lot of recruiters. You like people. You could see yourself playing for them, but everything has to fit. And the university does play a part into that. The tradition of the football program does play a part into that. How much support the program has in the community definitely plays a part into that. And Fresno State, I think, are positives in all of those aspects when you're comparing them to, you know, every other program probably outside of Boise State in the Mountain West.
Cam, last thing for you. Next week we'll get to the Final Four because it'll keep. Trust me. Okay, we have a few weeks to go until January 13th. But I wanted to ask you before we talk next Tuesday, since we won't have a chance for the first time in forever to talk over the weekend, which I know disappoints you to no end that at midnight you're not going to be bothered by me.
Greatly.
yeah, sure. You're talking about Ron Rivera lying to me. You're really lying to me now. Okay. All right. thanks for at least playing along. Are we going to invariably have a twist or a turn here, or is this really going to go to chalk when we have the announcement? I mean, what's your gut tell you?
I would be shocked if this didn't go the way that we feel like it's going to go. You'd have to put, I put the odds at like minus 500 at this point for you to put money on who I think and who we all kind of feel is going to be the next head coaches. I would be shocked if it went in the other way. I think that's the simplest way I can put it. I think, everybody involved in the program within the university is comfortable with the direction that I think they're going to go. The direction I think we all think they're going to go. I think to keep as much continuity as possible is a big part of this decision because, right. If Jeff didn't have health concerns, Jeff would still be rolling. He'd still be the head coach. This thing would still be moving in the right direction. I think to keep as much of that as possible to allow Jeff to continue to be a part as big or as small of a part as he can possibly be is part of that decision making process too. So I don't think we're going to be surprised. I don't think it would probably take someone just being the best interview, having the best presentation or plan for this program to have someone come in and kind of blow up what we all think will happen. I would be extremely shocked and we'll have to come on and I'll try to figure out why it happened or talk to the people and see, but I really think the odds of that are very small at this point.
Yeah. The only proviso, devil is always in the details. And so we'll see, we'll wait. We'll respect the process. We'll see how it plays out. Cam, I appreciate it. And maybe in second thought, Ron was actually telling me the truth more than lying to me. Maybe that's what that response was. Maybe the fact that he didn't break out laughing, just lot. Maybe that should tell me something, though. If you've ever seen Ronnie's wife, I understand why Ronnie would be laughing, because his wife is still drop-dead gorgeous to this day. Not that he didn't deserve a wonderful wife, all right? And I say that because much as I like him, I'm still afraid of him, all right? That's all. He's still going through the kickboxing and all this stuff if you saw Football Life.
Yeah.
Ronnie's still living like he's playing safety somewhere. So frightening, very frightening.
And luckily, I just saw a clip of him speaking to his team at halftime, probably yes, this past season. Tell you what, man, I was ready to go right there. I'm like, okay, let's go. We still got it. I'm ready. I'll give you three good plays, and I'm done. But I'm ready right now.
All I could tell you is down to Rialto on up, it's just really good that he's a very nice guy. That's all I could tell you about it. Hey, Cam, I appreciate it. Have a great week, my friend. We'll be in touch next week.
Thanks,
take
Tom.
Care.
Sure. Yes, sir.
All right, guys. My good friend Cam Morrell. Going to take a break. Come back with Jackson Moore. I want to talk a little bit about the recruits because Jackson's involved with that, because that is definitely a critical part of this entire process right now. Like I said, it's not a big early signing class, but it's still an important one for Fresno State. So we'll talk to Jackson about that in just a moment. Take a break on your official home for Fresno State Athletics, 50,000 watt 940 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. Just about 2:47, Bulldog Hour to 3, and then Christopher Gabriel and Gonzo with CGP to 6 o'clock tonight, the only play-by-play over on 790. 5 o'clock, the Sharks will drop the puck. Tomorrow, Fresno State basketball, 6:15, the tip-off show. 7 o'clock, Paul and Coach Q will have it for you from Berkeley against Cal. We'll talk to Q tomorrow in his normal 2:05 slot on a Wednesday. Jackson will have his normal visit with us at 2:05 on Friday, because we have wrapped up with Brian Panish and Mike Stovall. But nice enough to spend some time with us right now is none other than Jackson Moore, barkboard.com. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, Jackson. In the couple minutes we have, I asked you to come on today because I did want to update what I was just talking to Cam about, and that is the state of mind of the recruits. Jackson, we know the consternation that assistant coaches have because they do want, naturally, to keep everything intact if possible here. If not, they want a chance to move on because they do have families to worry about. We get that. For the 18-year-olds or 17-year-olds or 16-year-olds, this is a very big deal. Where are we at with that handful of recruits? Is everything just fine, or do you know for the early signing period coming up on the 18th?
Yeah, I mean, so far so good relative to the situation. You know, most of them, from what I understand, will be on campus this weekend for their official visits. It sounds like most of them as well are going to be getting in-home visits this week from the assistants to kind of get a rundown and explain what's going on and kind of prep them for the official visit on Fresno State's campus over the weekend. They still have to kind of convince everyone to stick on, but it looks like a few of them for sure are going to, and maybe a few more probably will as well. It's also kind of turned into less of who are they going to keep rather than who might they add. There's actually been three other recruits out there that are not committed that plan to visit this weekend, and that's at least. There could be four. There could be more than that. So that list of recruits that might add to the class even on this weekend, a little bit surprising given the circumstances, but it looks like they're in a situation where they can at least convince a few more to come on board that have been recruited by this current staff all football season long. And then you're also in a little bit of a conundrum as well where the mid-year junior college guys, this is kind of their one shot. So if they have been being recruited by Fresno State all this time, they kind of have to put their trust into what they're hearing from the assistants and sign on that dotted line 2 days before we expect a head coach to be announced.
Right. And Jackson, I'm just curious, is there any consistency with the recruits? Are you just not hearing much from them? Because it is a very big decision and they are well aware. And if they aren't, they were certainly told by negative recruiting other places what is going on here. Has there been uniformity in guys just not wanting to say very much to you?
Yeah, it's been pretty consistent that they feel comfortable with the situation. They've been reassured by the coaches of what's going on, but you know, there's not they don't know all the specifics of what's going to happen, obviously. So they're kind of waiting to hear that, I think. I think as long as they hear what they need to hear, they'll be pretty much on board. And I think that's what's going to go down over this next week. And then it'll still be, if they sign on December 16th, all things would indicate that they still have to put a little bit of faith and trust into what's going to happen in the days to come. But it does sound like there's a bit of reassurance there from the current staff. Perhaps, you know, there's quite a few Fresno State guys on the staff even that could be retained regardless of who the next head coach is. So there's some of that going on. You've got, as well, there's a tight end who's a four-star recruit that's going to be on campus this next weekend. And he's in a situation where, well, Fresno State used tight ends a whole lot the last 2 years, but if I sign and someone comes in that doesn't use tight ends, then that might not be the right fit. So you've got some of those kinds of situations as well.
Again, we'll talk 205 on Friday. Always appreciate the time, my friend. Hope people visit the board. By the way, that 50% off deal, is that done now?
We've extended it based off the circumstances. Obviously, it's a really exciting time on the premium board, so we're going to keep that going through Friday, and I hope people don't miss out on that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's a great deal. Check it out at barkboard.com. The last thing, Jackson, last couple minutes here, is what I was asking Cam about. You talk to the assistant coaches a lot. Where is their mindset, just in a general sense right now? Are these guys that are worried about the resume right now, or are they truly focused on the job at hand, not knowing for sure that they're going to be back? Where are these guys at? Because it's got to be a tough position to be in.
Yeah, you know, I don't know about the entire staff. I know quite a few of the assistants are still, I mean, I assume they all are, but just talking to the recruits, I've heard several of the names brought out individually, and of course Ryan Grubb was leading that charge. And even Coach Sedford, as he said in his press conference on Friday morning, it wasn't like he was leaving that press conference and that was it with him in Fresno State. He told us that he had a meeting with Coach Grubb hours later and the staff about how to approach things. So while I'm sure they all have to take care of themselves and their futures, it does sound like they are pretty dedicated to what's going on, and especially if there's a situation for where if a lot of them could be brought on by the next head coach as well.
Well, you and I will continue to talk about it until this thing is signed, sealed, and delivered very shortly. Jackson, appreciate it. Hope people visit the board. I'll talk to you at 2:05 on Friday, my friend. Thanks for jumping in. Take care.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, guys, Jackson Moore, we'll take a break, come back, wrap things up, get you ready for Christopher and Gonzo going 3-6. We'll do that in just a second on your official home for Fresno State Athletics, 50,000 watt, 940 ESPN.